Hello, listeners. My name is Fedrika.
And I'm James.
And we are a married couple. Let's give them a little bit of history. We've been dating for about 10 years.
Dating? Wow, we were dating.
We started dating in like
97.
To 2005. So like nine
yeah,
years.
So 97. And it was... off and on, kind of.
Yeah, so, I mean, but we were actually, like, talking to each other heavily. So dating-ish for about 10 years, and then after that, got married, and we've been married now for about 15 years.
Yeah, this will make 15 years.
Yeah. So we are here recording. I thought it'd be a good idea to talk about a topic that I haven't really seen or heard anyone talk about on these podcasts, but I feel like it's needed. So I want to talk about a marriage with a sexually abused spouse. I want to just talk about the marriage side of it. I don't want to talk about anything else. I just want to stay kind of in that realm. So a marriage with a sexually abused spouse and how that's dealt with, how it affects your marriage. So me, I am the sexually abused spouse. I was abused by my father from what I can remember about the age of 5 until I got mature and started ovulating. So I was about 13. But like I said, by my dad. So I don't want to go too deep into the stuff I went through as a, you know, as far as the abuse, like as a child and as an adolescent. I want to kind of keep it to how it's affected the marriage. And then, you know, for this episode at least, I want to just talk about the marriage side. And then maybe I can add, you know, some other episodes about, you know, as a child, what I went through and as an adolescent, you know. But we want to stick to strictly how it affects the marriage. So, like I said, I am the sexually abused spouse. Happened from about the age of 5 to 13. And we've been married for a very long time. So we've been dealing with a lot of things. And I want you guys to see both my perspective and then my husband's perspective on how it's affected our marriage. So I think that'd be a good topic. So my side, I feel that it affects our marriage. Trust issues, you know, being that someone that I thought I trusted, I was abused by that person. So therefore, the trust issue as far as men is very hard for me. I don't care if it's a family member or not, doesn't matter. I'm not that comfortable with just me being around men. I've gotten better though. Like, you know, there was one point where I would cut my son's hair at the house because I didn't want to go up to the barbershop. But, you know, I mean, I can deal with it. I don't want to take that experience away from them, you know, from going to the barbershop. I mean, you know, every little boy should go to the barbershop just to kind of see how it is. You know, the barbershop used to be a place of, like, men gossip. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I get it done. When they need to go, especially now that they've grown up, they don't want me to cut their hair anymore. So if I've taken them to the barbershop, that's fine. But, yeah, so trust with men is a thing. Also, emotional numbness. Being connected with my spouse was an issue. Just because of the abuse and how you kind of shut yourself off from feeling anything. So that has been something, you know, it affects our marriage because sometimes I had a hard time connecting with my spouse. Sometimes I had a hard time with trusting my spouse. And also then there's the sex side. Because I was abused at a young age, usually around, I'll say, 12, 13 is when young girls start to kind of connect with themselves, connect with their womb, they start developing their femininity traits. They start developing their, their sexuality. All that, you know, is kind of brought on at that age. Well, it was a screeching halt for me. So I never really got to develop that fully. And I kind of stemmed away from it. So it was like that connection there was severed. So that's how I feel like it affects our marriage as well. All of these things we're still, you know, working on and still going through. I think that, yeah, those three things are the main ones that I would say how it affects my marriage. The trust, the emotional numbness, and the sex. So, to you, babe, how do you think that me being sexually abused as a kid, years later, how do you think that affects our marriage?
So, for me, the biggest one is the sex piece. You know, understanding that, yes, you went through trauma at an early age, and me, you know, not going through that, so me not really understanding the severity of what you went through. Me being a guy, the thing on my mind most of the time is sex. So, you know, over the years, as we, you know, continue to grow, well, first and foremost, I'll put it out there that no matter what, I love this woman. So, it, regardless of what it is, you know, she's been through, I was always down to continue to work through it. I was always down to continue to work through it. And to me, I mean, the sex is really big, but it wasn't a deal breaker because we, you know, we got a lot of history and chemistry and we got kids. So the sex piece, I didn't want that to, you know, tarnish everything else that we have, or that we have, and that we will continue to grow towards. But that sex piece is big. I mean, it is big, and it can open the door for infidelity. It can definitely open the door for infidelity, because as you grow and you start to see other women talk about, you know, different sexual things. It's like, dang, I don't have that, and I want that. And that just, it opens the door, and it's hard. I mean, it's hard for any man. Like, it's, a man could say it's not, but it's hard to stay the straight and narrow throughout the course of a marriage if you feel that something is lacking, especially if it's sex. So I think at the end of the day, the main thing is I wanted it to work. I wanted to continue to have a relationship. I love her, so it's really hard. I know that depending on the level or the depth of the trauma or the abuse or whatever happened to your spouse, it could mean that much more therapy or that much more counseling that you need to go through to try to work through those issues. So
right.
That's for me, that's what it, it's one of the biggest thing as, I mean, for me as the man is the sex part.
Right. So, like, what do you think about sexual abuse?
So what I think about it, I think the dudes that do it, especially if it's your family, matter of fact, no, I'm going to just say family members. Dudes that abuse little girls, dudes that abuse little teeny girls, they should die. They should be dead. Like, no, that's some of y'all here listening to this may say, oh, that's harsh. That's harsh. Fuck them. If a grown man violates a little girl, 5, 6, 7, 8, y'all know what I mean. Some of you are probably grown men listening to this right now. Understand, that's how I feel about you. Like, fuck you. I would kill you if I knew about it. If I knew about it and you did harm to a little innocent girl, I'll get you, man. I would get you. And I would probably do it with my bare hands. I think that they are weak. I think that they got no game. They can't go get a girl. They've probably been rejected. I don't know what type of psychological whatever you need to get help with, but you should have done that versus take the innocence from a little girl. Like, you shouldn't have did that, man. So that's how I feel about dudes that commit some type of sexual abuse to a little girl.
Right.
They shouldn't. They just, thank God. I kill them. I don't care about them. But yeah, you know how I feel about, like, homosexual dudes, like gay dudes, but I don't like them either. But I'd rather deal with a gay dude than a dude that done something like that to a little girl.
Right. So, have you seen me go through anything? Any changes? Any hurdles?
Yes, I've seen you've grown, you know, you've become more comfortable over the years in your own skin. I've noticed that. I think that there's more room to grow. I think so. But from where you were, and I'm basing that strictly off of a sexual perspective, I think you have grown in that area. So
how about trust or like the emotional connection?
You have, well, we've been up and down on the trust, on the emotional, I think I would say up and down on that as well. But I think that it has been a slow incline over the years. It hasn't, like, even though it may be some decline sometimes, it's been a gradual increase over time with the trust, and it was trust and emotional feelings towards me. It has been on the up and up, and I don't know. I think we can attribute a lot of that to just how you see me interact with the kids, see me interact with you. I don't know what to just say. Like, if I could pinpoint why that is, why it's been an incline, but it's been an incline. At least I've seen it's been an incline over the years.
Yeah. Okay. Like, for a husband or maybe a wife or a spouse, whoever, if they're wondering how they can help someone who has been through a sexually abused situation, as a husband, do you know what can you, like, as far as how to help that person?
So, like, the husband helping the wife?
Mm-hmm.
The main thing is talking. That's the main thing, is trying to maybe open up about it. Because she may be affected different, you know, ladies go, they will have different, their side effects. They may be different. So, but definitely it would have to start with a conversation about, hey, this is what I see, I don't like, maybe we can help try to work on this. And it could be some backlash in the beginning, but if the two people love each other, he needs to say it or she needs to say it to him, and like, hey, this is what's on my mind. I think, you know, you gotta say it. Like, what I said, closed mouth don't eat, so you gotta say it.
Right. Okay. So I meant to say this at the beginning of the episode, but I did want to give a little bit about how we met, like when you first saw me. So you can tell them, but so go ahead and tell them, and then I'll ask you a question after that. When you first saw me,
when I first saw Frederica, she didn't see me. This was this was in 97, and I would give it, like, the first time I saw her.
97, really?
Yeah, it was 97. I saw you first. Because it was months before that we met at the skating rink, but I had already seen you. So we used to go to the same church. But y'all would be like in and out of the church because, you know, you would be gone with your daddy on wherever he was stationed at. But when I first saw her, I was 13 and she was 12. But when I first saw her, something in me, like, got up. Like, something in me said, oh, there she go. And I knew instantly that this woman here, well, at the time she was a girl, little girl, but I knew that this was going to be my wife. I knew it. I hadn't even really seen her face. I saw her walk by. So I caught, like, the side of her face, but I knew it. And I can't explain to y'all the severity of how I know, but I knew that she was going to be my wife. And no thing could stop it. So we did the whole I met her at a couple months later. It was like I think it was like school was about to start, like we was going back to school or something like that. But we had this skating rink in our home state where we're from. So we were at the skating rink
Saturday night
on a Saturday night. And I saw her. And when I saw her, I was like, okay, it's like now and now. I have to get her phone number. So I was a little nervous. I was with one of my cousins. And I was telling my cousin, like, hey, man, remember I was telling you about this girl from church and she's here? He's like, go get her number. I was like, all right. And my cousin was like, street life. So getting a girl number was nothing. But
and you
I went up to her and I don't know. I said something kind of cheesy. I don't remember what I said. It probably wasn't cheesy. It was probably pretty tough.
It was cheesy.
I hit her with a tough line.
It was cheesy.
But I got her phone number.
How did you remember it? You didn't have a pen.
So I didn't. She told me her number because I asked her for it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have nothing to write with. So as she said it, I made a song up in my head real quick. So, I mean, as soon as she said it, I quickly had a beat. I made a beat up. I heard the number.
Y'all, listen, he still won't sing the song or the beat, whatever, because I guess it's just so bad. But he still won't sing the song with my number in it. Still won't. Like, we talk to our kids about it, and they laugh, and I'm just like, huh, okay. But, so, okay.
The most important thing is I remember the number. You worry about the wrong stuff, y'all. But go ahead.
No, but I mean, we together now. We ain't going nowhere. What's the song?
I don't remember.
Wow. Okay, so, but when you first saw me, I wanted to say, did you see a hurt girl? A hurt little girl?
I didn't. No. I don't know what it... I didn't see a hurt person. I didn't know any of that. But even if I had known it, it still wouldn't have mattered. I knew who you were, or I knew what you were. I knew. It's like I was, it's almost like nature assigned me to her, or vice versa, assigned us to each other. I don't know how to, you know, all right, put it like this. Spiritual beings out there will know what I'm saying. They're going to just know when they hear me talking about this. They're going to understand. But to those who don't quite understand, just know that when I saw her, it was like deeper than a love at first sight thing. It was like, this is a eternity type thing, and we just happen to be like, we just happen to have physical bodies this time, and I see her now. Like, we probably been dealing with each other for the past billion years, like soulmates, twin flame type. But I know you. I know what I'm looking at.
Yeah. Like, oh, there she is. I've seen you.
I already know who she was. I know what time it was, and I was so young, but I knew it.
So just to give you guys a little backup a little bit, my husband, he has different eyes. Like, he sees things that not a lot of people can see. So that's why I asked him, could you see a hurt little girl? He does have a podcast. You guys want to check that out to see his journey. You guys can Spiritual Poems of Mbuku. It's on the Anchor as well as other platforms. That's why I asked him that. So a few more things. So I have been through therapy through the years. I feel like that may be a question. I've been through therapy through the years, and I feel like I found the right person. She's a woman of color, and she's been abused as well. She's a black woman. Yeah, usually I noticed that, you know, you're the person, you're in that field because you've been through something, you know what I'm saying? Like, a counselor is a counselor because they've been through certain things. So anyways, I am still in counseling right now, and just to kind of, you know, deal with the issues that still linger. What else do I have to say? I am also writing a book about, man, it's going to be a huge book. I'm in the process of writing it. I don't know how big it's going to go. I don't know if I'm just going to start from the marriage side, or if I'm going to just go all the way back to where it first started. I'm not sure, because there's names that I'm going to have to put in there and rename it. I feel like that, what's the movie name with the guy that had the book, Taye Diggs, is that his name? And then he had people's name, but they found out that it was them.
Oh, that Tyler Perry movie?
Yeah. I kind of feel like that a little bit. So anyways, you know, but I love my husband. He's been very patient and very loving with me through the whole process. I feel like he makes me a better person, and I feel like I make him a better person. I just felt like that this needed to be talked about, and that hopefully this will help someone that is going through this, or if you know someone who's going through this, maybe this will help them. So I just wanted to go ahead and make that episode. I may be adding some more about my childhood and things of that nature. I just thank you guys for listening. Anything you want to say, babe?
No, if you have been through some type of traumatic experience, and fellas, just be patient with her. Or maybe it's the fella that was through some type of traumatic experience. Ladies, be patient with him. And just continue to communicate.
Yeah. And make sure you reach out for therapy. That's a good thing. I know there could be some talk about, you know, it being weird or whatever, but hey, sometimes it's good to talk to someone who is not directly in it and know you. It's 'cause then it can be a free for all. You don't have to feel so tense and, you know, wonder if they're going to judge you. You don't have to see this person again. You can go one time and then be like, I wasn't feeling it, and go to the next person. So that's the kind of therapy that I like. And right now I am seeing someone that I feel is going to help me even more so. And I'm just grateful for it. And hey, life is a journey. And I feel like what I've been through, I can help someone else. So there it is. Thank you for listening. And I hope you guys have a great night. Hey, y'all. I just wanted to insert this, okay? I didn't edit the audio, the previous audio, or take anything out. Just after listening to the podcast from last night, I listened this morning, and I feel like I just need to make some things more clear and to correct something. Hashtag thanks notes, because I obviously didn't take any good notes, so my bad. My bad. All right, so I wanted to talk about PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder. It's very real, and if you're not careful, it can seep back into your life or seep into your life. When my husband was talking about the trust factor and said he doesn't know whether the trust got better because of him interacting with the kids or interacting with me about that. So I didn't respond at that time because I had to think about it deeper. So obviously, I trusted him before we got married and had kids. I didn't trust him much, like during the first part of the 10-year dating. I would think, like, is he really here for me or does he want something else? You know, stuff like that. He did a lot to work. He did a lot of work to let me know that he was all for me and that he didn't want anything from me. He just wanted to be with me. In our marriage, sometimes PTSD would show itself. And I had to check it at the door. So him interacting with the kids would trigger me. It would trigger my flashbacks of my dad interacting with me. He wasn't even doing anything wrong, but again, that's how it can look if you don't have those tools and the eyes to really relearn. Right? What a father, what a good father-kid relationship should look like. What a proper father-kid relationship should look like. So that's why, you know, he was saying that's why he said what he said about the trust thing, in the last audio. I wanted to talk about the counseling side too. I feel like I need to add a little bit more to that. Like, I feel the fastest you get it, the better. I thought I could handle it myself because I know that I'm a strong person, but it's so much more helpful to seek guidance and wisdom from like a professional who's been like through something similar, you know? Like PTSD can take over if you let it, so just don't let it, you know, along with a lot of other things can take over too if you don't have the skills to see. So that's why it's always good to have someone on the outside looking in, like talk to someone who can give you an outside perspective about yourself and can call your behavior out without you feeling embarrassed or anything. It could be like your spouse, your friend, your sibling, a counselor, because it'll help you grow and to see like what you need to work on, you know. Some of the things that I talked about in the audio, some things are accomplished, some things are being accomplished, some things are still, you know, I got to work through. You know, all marriages have their issues, and you got two different people working on a cohesive relationship. So of course there's going to be things that you're going to have to kind of deal with and get through together. The homosexual opinion my husband has, like that's his opinion. I don't want to discredit it. It's his though. I want it to be known that men also are sexually abused, and because the title of my podcast is A Marriage with a Sexually Abused Spouse, this is for anyone. Like, if you feel you can take from this, but by all means do so. males and females are abused about like every 9 minutes, and it's a widespread problem. Like the victims of these crimes, like depending on the severity of the trauma or like just the makeup of the person that the trauma is brought upon, they can turn towards a lot of crazy, well, I wouldn't say crazy, but a lot of bad stuff, you know, like drugs, suicide, promiscuity, or the same sex. They may feel like it's more safer being with the same sex. So before you judge someone, which I guess is a natural human instinct or trait, I guess, I don't know, but just have an open heart, you know what I'm saying? Because you just don't know what people are going through. Like, you know, I consider myself a victor and not a victim. I just wanted to make that clear too. Also, in the previous audio, I brought up a movie, The Best Man. And I think me and my husband said that it was like a Tyler Perry film or something. It's not a Tyler Perry film. It's the Best Man movie with Taye Diggs and Morris Chestnut and a few other good actors in there. That's what I was referring to when I was saying, like, when I was writing my book, or while I'm writing my book, I feel like it could go kind of like that way, like how that movie went with the book situation. So before I leave, I just wanted to give a few stats about sexual abuse. 1 in 9 girls and 1 in 53 boys under the age of 18 experience sexual abuse or assault at the hands of an adult. 82% of all victims under 18 are female. Females ages 16 through 19 are 4 times more likely than the general population to be victims of rape, attempted rape, or sexual assault. The effects of child sexual abuse can be long-lasting and affect the victim's mental health. Victims are more likely than non-victims to experience the mental health challenges, like about 4 times more likely to develop symptoms of drug abuse and PTSD as adults, and like about 3 times more likely to experience a major depressive episode as an adult. So I just wanted to put a few stats in there. And I just wanted to come on here to just add a few more things. So thank you for listening, and I will hopefully see you in the next podcast or the next episode. Thanks. Bye.